Hello and welcome again to another edition of the Sunday Huddle. As always, we're just so grateful for Sports World and Brotherwood Coffee. There's a link in the bio. I would love for you to click on that. Help support what Sports World's doing and Sunday Huddle is doing and Brotherwood Coffee. All amazing work. Man, guys, please, we'd love to have you partner with us. But as always, I'm super glad to be joined with Nathan and Brian. How are we doing, guys?
Great. Valentine's Day was fantastic for me. How about y'all?
Yes, good. How long have you been married?
Years.
Yeah. So
16. It was her birthday in 2016. So I don't remember. I remember the date, but I don't remember how old she is.
It almost sounded like you married her when she was 16. This is going to go south really, really quick.
It was in 2016. Yeah. You are the one who officiated.
I did, and I did the premarital counseling. Full disclosure, and I said, "Sweetheart, please don't marry him. Please do not marry him. He is not modest in any way." You can. I told her she could do better than this.
Multiple
There's a lot
times.
Of. I did tell her that.
I kept saying, "Jeff, stop." I finally got her. Listen. She won't get the antidote if she leaves.
Yeah. So good. You had a good Valentine's Day.
That's great.
That's awesome. Yes.
I've been married 10 years. I knew right away. I didn't have to take as long as
You're
Brian.
You're such
did.
A better person. That's
been
good.
10 years.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. 10 years. Been married 10 years. Yeah.
That's good. Well, man, today what a one to follow Valentine's Day. We're going to talk about kind of a tough subject, honestly, and one that's not easy. And we always joke and have fun as we on these podcasts. But we're going to talk about divorce. And when a husband and wife get divorced, what does society have to say about this? What does the Bible have to say about this? And again, we know this is not, and this may be, as we said in a couple of different episodes, this may be something that's maybe fresh in your life right now, maybe something you've went through. We want you to know, again, as we've said about multiple things, God's grace and mercy or forgiveness are available for all. All we do is repent. And in Christ, he meets us there in our hurt. And man, we're sorry. We know that we do know, honestly, that divorce can be one of the most traumatic things to happen to anyone. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's literally up there with death, right? Death of a family member, a loved one is divorce. So we're going to talk a little bit about divorce, some initial thoughts on what about divorce, what it does, what it is.
Yeah, I think first it's good to establish, just like we have with several topics, is that our basis for everything we're going to discuss is the Bible, right?
That's right.
Is the Word of God. That is the sole authority of our life in all areas, including this area, marriage and divorce. And culture in the world is going to say something very different about this topic than what the Word of God is going to say, because it would say more so divorce is like the safeguard, almost like always an option, your way out. If you're feeling unfulfilled in that situation, or I just feel like I haven't found the right person, I thought this person was, but this is not the right person, then I can go and have at it again.
I fell out of love there.
But just establishing that the culture in the world is going to like speak very differently, but we're looking at it through the lens of the Bible.
Yeah, and one important thing, and so also, and to add on to that, great observation, and also to add on to that, so that what we say now, and it seems like it comes from us, is going to come from the authority of God's Word, and it may hit your ears the wrong way.
Right.
It may sound harsh, and it may sound tough, and so we want to be careful we're trying to use nuanced language here, but exactly. Initial thoughts?
I grew up in a divorced household kind of thing, so one of the things about divorce is because of that. And there's lots of drama about it. And it was one of those that I was fortunate in the sense that both of them remarried and to amazing people, loved them, great family. I was also fortunate that both of them wanted to be very present in my life. So most of the drama stemmed from wanting to see us versus not seeing him. So there are definitely, I want to make sure that was definitely something that was a benefit. But it is specifically important to me in this that I was 8 when it all happened. So it was like really formative years for me of seeing it all. And so for me, divorce is something that is just not a possibility. Like it's off the table. It's one of those things that I don't think that divorce is something that one honors God, but I also would go so far as to say that when the commitment is till death do us part, regardless of the circumstances, I'm one of those weird ones. It's like, yeah, there's not a situation. I'm not going to obviously, begrudge anyone who has had a divorce or things along those lines for the reasons that are biblical. But I would say that for me, it's completely off the table. And it's an interesting situation where
I'm sorry. All joking aside, it's kind of go along with that. I have a buddy of mine. His name is Keenan. He's a pastor down in Houston, Texas, suburb of Houston. He was a young man when his mom and dad got divorced. And as part of his testimony, he shares his story. He says he remembers where he was sitting at the kitchen table, what his mom and dad were wearing,
yep.
as they sat across from him and they said, "We're going to get a divorce. Who do you want to live with?" And I'm telling you, this is a memory in his brain that, like, he could tell you the smells
right.
of the kitchen,
right?
That everything, it was such a, and again, if you've gone through grace and you're raising children alone, we want you to know there's grace and mercy and all that. But to say that, hey man, I just fell out of love and divorce is what I'm going to do is something that should right. be taken off the table. We'd agree.
Oh yeah.
And I think, and not to take it too far, like down a different street, but you know, working with teenagers, we see this is, I mean, super prevalent.
Yeah.
Right. And as you mentioned, like Brian, with your story and also with your friend, remembering all those details of it deeply impacts the children there too.
Right.
And because it has become so normalized, I think that element of it is forgotten maybe at times. So it's just a reminder for me, like as I work with teenagers, like, man, I want to be mindful of like the way that, how can, like, we need to minister to those students in those times. And one study, I think it was from like 2019, says 50% of people now by age 18 will have experienced that, will have like been impacted by a divorced household.
Yeah, and honestly, a lot of the statistics they say, you know, so we hear one of the arguments you hear, I fell out of love, and we probably ought to address that and talk about that a little bit. But the other one has been, you know, we fight all the time, and they're going to be better off if we're split apart.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you that the statistics don't say that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The statistics say something vastly different, and it's totally different that it does harm to a kid. Now, again, the harm that's done to them, they come to a relationship with Christ. God can use even these negative things. He can use it for his glory,
right.
For their good and for his glory. So, we don't want to take away that God can do that. But it has an impact on a young person.
Right, right. And I do want to, one of the things, because I've heard a lot about 50% of marriages end in divorce. And so I did a little bit more research, and that was true pretty much right after no-fault divorce became more of the law of the land. And there was a pretty big spike. Now it's closer to 40-45%, depending on which source you use. So it's gotten sure. a little bit better, but that's specifically first marriages. So when you take second and third marriages into consideration, that's actually a significantly higher percentage of people that also end in divorce, because it's one of those things like, oh, Band-Aid's off. I don't mean to jest too much about it, but it's one of those situations right. that statistically.
Yeah, or to think about it, you know, often whenever, and almost always the case, and I guess there's some that are not, but you know, when you have a couple that's divorcing, there's somebody else in the picture.
Usually.
And to imagine that the person that you're going to next marry was involved with you while you were married right. says enough about what kind of candidate they are for marriage, right?
Right. right.
And so that's something that's right. Mm-hmm. And it is damaging. And also, inversely, let me tell you, and I wish I could pull up the statistics. I don't want to pretend to actually know them. But the percentage of divorce of husbands and wives that pray together every day and have community with one another and go to church together, it's very, very small.
Right.
And so, I mean, you know, in my premarital counseling, one of the premarital counseling things I say is that man, you need to pray with your wife. Yep. You pray with her every night. And it's uncomfortable. It's weird. It's right. awkward at first. You know, it's strange and it doesn't make any sense. I could say that, you know, that I wasn't until several years of my marriage to pray with my wife every night.
Right.
But to hold her hand and to pray and to seek God is a tough thing. But those that helps to insulate from some of these damaging statistics.
Right, right. So when we talk about divorce, obviously the reason that divorce is wrong is because it's unbiblical. It's because of what the sanctity of marriage consists of. And specifically, it is a God-ordained covenant. And so, since you did such a great job in our premarital counseling, would you like to elaborate why marriage is so important?
Yeah, it is. So, and honestly, it is God ordained, and it's a union that God is the head of. And ironically, it's the metaphor that he uses to point to us and Jesus,
right?
Right. It's the one that's the most often used, and that's what's so damning to us individually, but also damaging to our witness to the unbelieving world.
Right.
That literally we're the bride of Christ.
Right.
Right. And that it's the picture that it gives, and it's this union, and it's one that God calls sacred and holy, and we need to honor that. Now there are reasons that people can get a divorce.
Right.
That the Bible would say that not okay, I would say, but permits maybe right. that's the right word, but permits. And so one of the examples the Scripture says is that if we have a spouse that is unfaithful, that marriage is or that divorce is permissible, and it says it's okay. I will tell you, this is going to probably not be an unpopular opinion, but if I came to a husband and wife that were one of them was unfaithful, and the partner who had committed the unfaithful act was repentant and wanted to preserve the marriage, I would fight with them to preserve that marriage.
Right.
My advice would be, hey, would not be, hey, you got a way out, get out.
Right.
But it would be, no, 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 I want you to fight for that marriage. And, right. and I know how that would be hard. I'm not saying it would be easy, but
right.
but it's important that we understand what the scripture says about that.
Right. I completely agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I think that's one of those things, like clearly from the words of Jesus and the words of Paul, that being a reason that divorce and an allowable time for divorce says that there is a world where that you don't move past that, right?
Yeah.
But I agree. Certainly the idea is, the hope is restoration there because Brian, as you already asked what marriage even is and how it's a picture of our relationship, to Jesus of, it's a picture of what the unconditional love of Christ is.
That's
the
right.
Unconditional love of God. Yeah. So that's why I fell out of love with them or I'm not feeling it anymore. I feel unfulfilled in this. That's why those things, like, while that might be true, and honestly, at some time, probably will be true,
right?
Yeah.
In a marriage.
Yeah.
That's but why.
Neither of your wives can really tolerate it, one of you.
Yeah, 100%. She says it's about.
good.
But that's why those things are not a good enough excuse because the unconditional love of God is, man, that. God stays with us in those. And that's also why things like, Brian, you said, you know, Jeff, doing your premarital counseling, why we say things like that are important because
right.
marriage is a big deal. We're going to take it serious, right?
And then, as you said, what is the importance of it? What is love?
Right.
Right.
Baby, don't hurt me. You weren't meaning that?
I was not. I don't know. I only listened to Carmen. I mentioned in the last episode and Michael W. Smith. So here's the thing, right? So, but listen, so because love is not a feeling or emotion. And it's right. not just a feeling or an emotion.
Right, right, right.
And what would we say? You know, you have to think about that. To say to God that, you know, how many times have we been disobedient to God?
Right.
And we violated right. his love or the relationship that we have. Not him. He's faithful and just right. and always one way, and right. we're the opposite. What if God left us that way?
Right.
Every time we messed up or made a mistake,
right. like Hosea,
huh?
like Hosea, the
yeah.
way that's the beautiful. It's so great that exactly
yeah.
that love is a choice,
right?
And that's one of the things that you're like God's like, okay, just in case you were wondering, let me show you. Hey, Hosea, guess what? You're gonna get this Gomer, not to be confused with Pyle, and she's gonna do some crazy things, and you're still gonna love her, and then you're gonna buy her back after she goes back to that lifestyle, and you're still gonna have kids, and all of these crazy things. And he's like, and I'm gonna do more than that.
Yeah, so good, man. What a beautiful, that's a beautiful picture. And simultaneously, and I've said it multiple episodes, my wife is the best human I know. I'm unbelievably blessed to be married to her. God has taught me more things through my marriage.
Right.
I would tell you that I am anyway. I would be an infinitely more selfish creature than I am right now.
And that's saying something.
It is saying something. If were it not for my wife. Seriously, to
right.
think about that, to think of someone else before me.
Right.
That every action I take, every thought that I have, that I want to see how, because again, love is not a feeling or emotion. If it's a feeling or emotion, you're going to quit. It's going to be done.
Right.
And so we put it dependent upon that.
Yeah, and something that I have done, it's not like I've done like a million, but all the weddings that I have officiated, you know, we talk through at some point in it about that, you know, that we are to love them, what that looks like, and we do that unconditionally, whether there's going to be times you don't feel like it, there's going to be times you feel like they don't deserve it,
yep.
And there's going to be times that they don't feel like loving you, that they
right.
feel like you don't deserve it. I mean, it's a reminder for us that the bride of Christ, certainly there were times that we don't deserve it, right,
yeah.
that we don't deserve it, yet he stays. On the cross, he stayed. So it's a picture of the
covenant. Yeah, and you imagine us to have the nerve to look up at God and say, God, do you know what it feels like to love somebody and them not do exactly what you want them to do? God, can you believe that she doesn't do exactly? And he's like, yeah, I kind of have an idea, Jeff. I look at you and yeah, I love you unconditionally. And the way you think you love your wife, I love you significantly more than that.
Right.
And yet you're still an idiot.
Right. No, I could not agree more. So
the idiot part?
Yeah,
okay,
you are still just a raging
good.
Idiot.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, one of the things about it also is that, so we talk about divorce, and obviously it's become a lot more, at least less taboo than it initially was. And so it's kind of crazy just some of the questions that people will have that are pretty good questions about divorce. So I'm similar to agreeing with what you said about infidelity or things along those
yeah.
lines and a repentant person. What about an abusive spouse?
Mm.
Yeah, I was going to pull the Brian and I was going to try and ask the question so that Jeff could answer it.
He looked at you and asked you first. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I think, I think in scripture we see the permissible reasons for divorce is adultery and abandonment.
Right.
And I think abuse would fall into that category. I believe of abandonment, of an unsafe environment. Then now again, we're talking about, we're going to be, when we say, like, when we're talking about abuse, we always want to be, like, just very mindful of the severity of a situation. And if there are people who are in a marriage where they are, man, abuse is there and they feel unsafe, they'll then, like, talk about, reach out to someone and seek, get help, remove yourself from that situation, get help in that. But I do think that, I think that abuse falls into that category of abandonment personally.
Yeah, I think a more cautious answer for me would be he's exactly right. But I think that, you know, it could be tied to abandonment. I would certainly say that any spouse that it was being abused certainly wouldn't be required to stay in that home to do so and to continue to endure abuse, right?
Right.
Maybe there'd be a time that they were separated, but certainly we would not advocate, hey, listen, you can't divorce them. And not only that, you need to continue to be under this punishment. We would never advocate for that. I would say that, and it's often the one that's brought up, it's so rare because we equate this abuse, and again, not to minimize in any way those who suffer physical abuse, but they didn't make my dinner when I said that.
Right.
And they used a word that they shouldn't have used, and they yelled at me, and I've been abused, right? And so we do this, but the scripture is really clear that on the permission that we have to be able to be divorced. And even in those cases, again, we don't want anybody to say an abusive situation, but I believe God wants to redeem that, and God wants to show that. I will tell you that marriage is such a beautiful teacher. It's such a beautiful way that even, I say this, and I will say, and again, I'm not just saying this as a throwaway. I have a wonderful marriage. I'm so, so blessed to have my wife. But the purpose of marriage is maybe not always, not in particular example used, but it's not always happiness, but it could be holiness.
Right.
And that Christ is using this relationship as no other relationship that he really can. I mean, I think that being a father teaches me certain things, but a husband and wife, it teaches me so many things that it makes me happy more than holy. And I'm just a minute, if I could say this, and I know I've probably shared this on one episode, but I had modeled for me what it was to love my father and my mother. Mm-hmm. And my mother, as I shared, was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. Dad took care of her. And she, I know I mentioned this on another episode, but she didn't know who he was. Couldn't say his name. He took care of her every morning. His name was on the sign-in sheet twice a day because he got her up in the morning, got her ready, and he put her to bed at night and put her in her pajamas where she went to sleep. If there's anyone who had a case to say, you know what, I fell out of love.
Right.
Shouldn't even know who I am. Right. He could justify that. And very few in the world would have found that. But let me tell you what else it did. And this, I'm sorry, I'm going off a little bit. When my kids went to visit their grandmother in that place and they saw my father acting the way he did, it's future divorce-proofing their marriages.
Right.
They've learned what love is.
I heard that.
And it's not, hey, things get tough, and then we just cash it out, and we're done.
Right.
And so, yeah, I think that's a great teacher for me anyway.
Right. No, that's beautiful. What an amazing testimony, kind of things like that. And it's one of those that, again, in everything that we do, it needs to be bringing glory and honor to God. And when we make a vow and a covenant like that, we are to honor. And it's amazing when it's just beautiful when you see someone like that who honors it and everything like that. One of the things that we've all agreed upon is that at least Jesus does make it very clear that divorce is permissible. He's not saying that he wants it, but divorce is permissible in the instances of adultery.
Yep.
And Jesus also says that if you lust after another person, that's adultery. So would it be permissible for a divorce if someone...
Can't believe you're putting Nathan on the spot with this.
Yeah, I want to know what Brian thinks. He keeps asking all the questions. I feel like Brian has to answer the question.
I feel like you have to lead on that one. I have an idea for that, but go ahead, though.
I don't have any ideas.
Yes,
that's why I was asking the question. Yeah. No, I one of the things that I think about it is... my stance is the same, whether it be pornography or physical acts of adultery, that you should look for reconciliation.
You should look for reconciliation. I would say that the purpose of the one, look at a woman, lustfully you've committed adultery, you've been angry with your brother, it's the same as murder. I think that Jesus was not saying, nor are you, that the implications were the same.
Right.
That it was the same. In fact, I think it was hyperbolic.
Right.
But it was hyperbolic not because it was untrue, but because he was trying to prove a point. You think you're righteous, but you're not really righteous.
Right.
And the fact that you double down on your righteousness, I'm going to show you how righteous you're not.
Right.
Right. So that's good. But you're exactly right. Both should be repented of, and both should be. But again, I think there would be different weights. If a woman said, you know, my husband said he had a lustful thought, and I want to divorce him, I would say that the scriptures wouldn't justify that.
I think that, like we've already said a million times, the goal ultimately in all situations is reconciliation, is that the marriage, that covenant there is picturing the covenant that God makes with us, and that it is ultimately not just love but holiness, as Jeff mentioned, that is making me more like Jesus and also pointing the world to him.
Yeah, and I would say in marriage, and we're gonna have to do this. We're gonna have to do an episode on what marriage is, what is good marriage, what makes a good marriage, and what does the scripture say makes a good marriage? Because, I would say to quote a great philosopher, Taylor Swift, "Me, hi, I'm the problem. It's me." How about that? So, in divorce, how about that? That was good, though. If you have to explain the joke, it's not funny. Here's the deal. But listen, that I'm the problem.
Right.
And I've said it's never 50-50.
Right.
That in a marriage, if there's a problem, we need to proceed forward. Not again the outrageous case that gives, you know, infidelity and so forth. But what have I done to contribute to my problems in my marriage? And the fact is, the scripture says I'm supposed to love my wife, love Christ, love the church.
Right.
If there's ever been any friction in my marriage, it's me.
Right.
Because I failed to love my wife like Christ loved the church.
Right. I heard it said that there's no such thing as marital problems. There are single people problems you bring into marriage.
Well said.
Mm. And I'm like, oh, yeah. It is. It's the selfishness that we have that you mentioned earlier about you would be even, which is still hard to believe, more selfish if your wife wasn't keeping you humble.
Yeah, amen. She does.
But it's one of those things that, no, truly though, that same. Like, my wife is so much better than me, and it's very obvious.
Amen.
And there is this great thing that happens where she's able to do that.
So, and then... inversely, the scriptures command, and we have to talk about this on another episode, that she respects her husband.
Right.
And so it's this beautiful kind of circle that takes place, right? Where I love her with all of my heart because that's what most satisfies her heart. Not that I don't respect my wife. Of course I do. Right. And that she respects me. And of course she loves me as well. But those are the things. And this idea that because we're individually, and he even talks about this, why this is permissible. It's because of our hardness of heart.
Right.
Because we're our inability, because it has to do with us being selfish. And that's the thing. Think about how amazing our marriages would be, all marriages, if we put the other truly first all the time.
Right.
And we didn't automatically go through the filter of our life.
Right. I've heard it said before that we should approach every situation in marriage, like disagreement and stuff, which obviously, like many divorces, as we already said, are not the extremes. It's more of just the little disagreements that just over time really kind of pile up, that we approach every disagreement there with first, I'm someone who has sinned against somebody, instead of the mindset of I'm someone who has been sinned against.
Yeah.
Because then we approach that of like, hey, I'm the problem. It's me.
Amen. But isn't it, that's so convicting though. Cause you say, and here's this is such a beautiful thing about this. We all know, us three here, we know it intellectually, what you said is true.
Right.
But to process and live that out is a totally different thing.
Right.
And you know, when you're praying, hey, you know, if you'll just fix this about them.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we're in bad shape, right? When you had a sermon and you're nudging them, hey, are you listening to this? This is really good stuff right here. You know what I mean? I know he's just a youth pastor, but he's really preaching today. You know what I mean? But you know, you hear these comments that's a big joke in ministry, obviously. But so just indicative of our hearts that when we hear something, man, I hope they're hearing this. This is really for this person rather than, no, that's for me.
Right.
Yeah. And so anyway, so hey, I want to say this again. I don't know if we said this in a couple of episodes about a couple of different subject matters, but if you're here and you've gone through a divorce, we want you to know that God's grace and mercy, it's sufficient and he forgives all. And in fact, if you're in the middle of a struggle relationship, we would ask you, man, seek some biblical counseling, seek some men of God, some women of God who can speak truth into your life. And encourage you and see the marriage that God wants you to have, which is a great marriage. Man, thanks again for joining us on the Sunday Huddle. As always, grateful for Sports World and Brotherwood Coffee. Like and subscribe, and we look forward to seeing you next time.
Peace.